Well, we've sung Viv's hymns, and we've heard them played. We've read the specific scriptures that she requested, and now there's therefore one last thing to do that she asked, and that is to preach the gospel, to preach the gospel. But what is the gospel? What is the gospel that she's asked me specifically to preach? Well, we could say it's the message of the Bible, all of the Bible, from cover to cover, from beginning to end. You'll be glad to know we're not going to do that, but it's here. It's in God's Word. It's in the Bible. We haven't got time to go through the whole of the Bible, but all the Bible tells us about the gospel. The gospel and the Bible are so connected. They are but one. But I want to just say four things about what the gospel is. The aim of any preacher is that you should remember the message. So maybe four things, and then three more things. That's seven things. Well, four things about the gospel, very simply. The gospel is true. It's true. We hear a lot today about fake news, don't we? Fake news. Can you believe what you've just read on that website? Is this really this person sending you this WhatsApp? But the gospel is true. We say, don't we, sometimes, when somebody says, oh, really? You say, yeah, gospel. Gospel truth. The gospel is true. If you go to court, you have to testify. You have to put your hand on a Bible. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The truth. The gospel is true. Number two, it's good news. It's good news. The Bible was written mainly in two languages, Hebrew in the Old Testament, Greek in the New Testament. So the translators have translated it into English for us because none of us read Hebrew and Greek. I don't think we do anyway. And the word, if we could read the Greek for gospel, is good news. Good news. It's not long ago, was it Christmas time? The angels came, didn't they, on the hillside to the shepherds? Behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. What a wonderful thing Christmas is. Glad tidings? It's good news. Good news. True. Good news. From God. Where did the angels come from with that message? Who sent them? What was the message? Who was the message from? It was from God. The gospel is true, good news from God. It comes from outside of us. We can convey good news to one another, can't we? We can convey sad news. The day when we conveyed, Mum's died, Viv's gone. Sad news. But we can convey good news, can't we? But sadly, there is good and bad news in this world, but God sends good news. It's His good news, and it's true. Now, there's a lot of things which are true and are good news from God. The Bible tells us about them. The hymn we've sung just mentions them, really, that it will be spring soon. That's in the Bible. There will be a harvest. Because seeds planted grow. There will be a night time coming. And then another day. Well, that's all good news, isn't it? That's true, good news from God. But there's one more ingredient about the gospel which goes beyond that. It is about Jesus. What is the gospel? It is true, good news from God about Jesus. About Jesus. And the Bible is full of it from beginning to end. There are verses and passages and stories and parables and songs and psalms and letters and all sorts of expressions in the Bible which are true good news from God about Jesus. They all proclaim it, they all explain it in a way, they all emphasize certain parts of it, but it's all the gospel. And Viv chose one verse from in here, for me to explain to you this morning. Just one verse. Here it is. Steve read it. Come now. And let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. This is just one verse that conveys something of that true good news from God about Jesus. There are three things it tells us. We'll read it again, and it's on the handout for you to take away. First of all, the gospel's reasonable. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. In other words, the gospel can be reasoned. It can be discussed and explained. It can be put in ways that you can understand. No matter how old or young we are, whether we've got, you know, master's degrees or whether we left school at 14. It's reasonable. In other words, it's not irrational. It's not nonsensical. It's not incomprehensible, so we can't understand it. It's not nuts. It's not crazy. It's logical. It's reasonable. In fact, a preacher some years ago, a very famous preacher, who many of us revere, a man called Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he called the gospel logic on fire. Logic on fire. In other words, this really adds up. This really explains things. This gospel really makes sense. Not only so, but it's on fire. It's sort of alive somehow. And what the gospel is not only reasonable and understandable, it's wonderful. Because, do you see who's speaking? Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. The Lord. It's God who's speaking. God who is speaking to the world of the day through a man called Isaiah. He was a preacher. He was a prophet. And what we have to understand is something of the context. How amazing it is that God should reason with the people he's speaking to. Because this is verse 18. Stephen told us it's verse 18. But what about verses 1 to 17? Well, if you have a look in those verses when you get home, you'll find that God says the people who he's speaking to, they're like rebellious children. Children who are kicking over the traces and saying, oh, you know, mum and dad and the things they say. Well, he's equating them to that. And he's the father. And it's like people are saying, oh, you know, blow God, I'm not interested. They're unthinking about the consequences in their lives. Get rid of God? Well, doesn't matter. They're sort of angering God by their ways. God is a loving heavenly Father, and yet what they're doing is just, it's just awful, really. It's just terrible. And there's an illusion, there's a picture for us, which is pretty gruesome, really, because it says that they're like somebody who is so bruised and battered that they've got wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That sounds pretty horrible, doesn't it? But God often uses words in his Bible to make us go, ooh. So like a child who tries the patience of their parent, they've done so much that God says in these verses that lead up to this verse, I'm just shutting my eyes, I'm not looking at you anymore, I'm putting my hands over my ears, because when you pray to me, it's just so hypocritical, I'm not listening. Wow. And then comes verse 18, where God says, come now, let us reason together. The gospel is reasonable. It's God coming and saying, I've got something to tell you, which is logical, understandable, and boy, you need it. The second thing about this verse is it's radical. It's radical. The verse shows us an incredible contrast, a before and an after. Do you notice that? Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they'll be white like wool. Can you see what is being shown to us here? What a contrast. What a contrast. Their attitude, their behavior, their whole demeanor towards God says, is so shriekingly, screamingly obvious and standing out that it's like crimson, it's like bright red, it's like scarlet. But then there's the gospel, which is radical, because it says that changes to white, whiter than snow. Have you ever been out in the snow on a day when it's sunny like this? We've only been to Switzerland once, but boy, it was amazing. We went on top of a glacier right up in the mountains, and we were told you must wear sunglasses. Maybe you've been somewhere like that. Why? Because the white is so bright. So God is saying here is that, come, the gospel's reasonable. I'm reasoning with you. I'm bringing you something that you need to know, which you need to understand, and you can understand. But it's going to change things so radically that I'm going to give you an example. This bright red crimson will be so white, it's white like snow or like wool. Now, if we go into the fields, you know, out in Worcestershire, we'll see sheep, and they'll be sort of a little bit white, I suppose. But they have those stains on them, don't they? They have the numbers on them. Come in, number 46, your time is up. That's what the sheepdog says. They've got numbers on them. And so it rather spoils the analogy, doesn't it? But of course, in the East, in those days, the sheep would have been just pure white. And there would have been, you know, the wool would have been removed and used, and it would have been pure white. So the contrast is quite incredible. How radical is the gospel? This true good news from God about Jesus is reasonable. And it's radical. It changes things. There's one more. It's personal. Reasonable. Radical. Personal. Do you notice how personal it was? Come now, let us. God speaking. It leaps out the page as you read it. It's God saying to you, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet. This is to do with you and me. The Bible is not a long ago, far away book. The Bible is a here and now, you and me book. It speaks to us. It's a living word. You know, this verse was written 2,700 years ago. 2,700 years ago. It was written 700 years before Jesus was even born. But that's what we mean about the Bible. The Bible is the gospel because even before Jesus is born, the Bible is pointing all the time in all sorts of ways. Verses like this, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. No wonder the angels, when they came down from heaven to the shepherds, said, glad tidings, great joy, all people. A Saviour's been born. Jesus has been born. That's why the Bible is so exciting, because it's all about what's coming. It's all about he's come. And it's all about he's coming again. It's about Jesus. And it was written personally. Personally. So you see, when we put it into context and we think about how it fits with where it was written at the time it was written, we can see it, but I wonder if you can see it for yourself. You see, God has done something in absolute amazing grace. He has come down to this earth, and in the living gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus has said, come to me, come to me. All you that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says to you this morning, on this funeral morning, although it's a Thanksgiving service, Viv wants you to know that you can come to God because he has come to you. But he's done something very radical, very wonderful for you. He has come in the person of the Lord Jesus to deal with your sin. Because it says here, doesn't it? Though your sins be as scarlet. So it's not just about those people long ago, far away. It's about you and me here today. And instead of God turning his back on those of us who just don't want God. Oh, we don't want God, surely do we? And we think of our lives, and we think of what we've done that we wouldn't want God to even know about, but he does. And we think of him turning away and saying, if that's what you are going to do with me, then I'm going to close my ears to your prayers, and I'm going to cover my eyes, and I'm not going to look at you, and you can carry on in the way you want to go. But God hasn't done that. What God has done, as he has come to this world in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has said, even if your sins shriek out and cry out to me, and so obvious in the gospel, I can do something so radical. I can change your life. I can change your destiny. I can change everything. So once red and crimson, what a radical change to white and pure. You know, I'm of the age where teachers used chalk and blackboards. Put your hands up if you remember that. No, don't. But at the end of a day, I was always fascinated by this. All the teacher had written on the blackboard, all through the time we'd been there that day, he or she would take a board rubber and would wipe it all clean. It would all be gone. A new start tomorrow. You know, in the Bible speaks in such wonderful ways to us. And in Colossians 2 and verse 14, it tells us exactly that. It says, although all our sins are written down like on a blackboard, everything, all our unbelief, all our apathy, all our rejection of God, all the things we've done and said, which God, as a holy God, would not want to look at and see, and you wouldn't blame him, would you, for turning his back on you and walking away. He wipes it all off. It's gone. A new day. A new beginning. But where have all those sins gone? God is holy. God can't just say, oh, well, never mind. Dave Fielding, he wasn't such a bad guy anyway. We'll wipe all these sins away. That's not what God can do, because God is just. He is holy. He is true. Some of the awful things that we've heard and seen just recently in the courts of our land, we want, don't we? We want the perpetrators to be rightly punished. So if he's wiped my sins away, that's radical. But where have they gone? Where have they gone? Well, you see, this is why the gospel is good news. It's true good news from God about Jesus. Because when Jesus died on the cross, all my sins were put to his account. All my sins were placed on his shoulders. All my sins were put to him as if he had done them all. And God dealt with Jesus, his perfect beloved son, so that he might deal with me in such a wonderful way that all my sins are gone. And he treats me as his son or as his daughter, because he's punished his son in my place. Can you see, therefore, what we've said this morning? What Viv wanted you to hear? That the gospel is true. It's true, my friends, it's true. It's good news. It's good news. It's sad today, isn't it? But Viv wanted us to hear good news. And it's from God. It's not from me. It's from God. And it's about Jesus. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, God comes to reason with you and me and to provide us with this explanation of the gospel, which, when we go away and think about it, is most reasonable, isn't it? Most wonderful. Most gracious. But it's most radical. It can change life like it changed Viv's life all those years ago. And it's personal, because it's all to do with you and God. Not you and me, but you and God. One last question. Why? Children ask that, don't they? Dad, why? Why is this? Why are you doing that? We're just little children, really, aren't we, before God? Why? Jesus provided an explanation in probably the most famous verse in all the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the gospel. That's true. That's good news. That's from God. And that's about Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that though Viv is not here, she has, as it were, spoken to us by giving us this verse so that we might record it and remember it and state it and preach it and explain it at her funeral, at her Thanksgiving service. So we thank you, Lord, that she has done that. And we thank you, Lord, that we have heard the gospel. Please help us not to forget it. Help us to respond to it. Help us, Lord, so that like Viv, we might know this Saviour who has come down from heaven to bring us such good news. Please bless us in our time afterwards as we share and talk together. Be with the family, Lord. Comfort them. This is a special day. But it's a wonderful day in so many ways, because we remember where Viv is now with her Saviour in heaven. And we pray, Lord God, that you would bless each one of us. In Jesus' name.